Hello, Marketplace Morning Report First Edition podcast listeners. It's me, Jeremy Hobson, and I've got a special program note today. Starting next Monday, this podcast is going to come out an hour later than it currently does. So it'll be coming out right after 7 a.m. Eastern time rather than right after 6 a.m. Eastern time. We're making some changes to the show, and that is one of them. We hope there's no inconvenience from that, and we hope that you will continue to listen to this podcast. The January jobs report, good, bad, or both?
Balance your life with dollar signs. Tune into Marketplace Money this weekend for a look at the issues affecting your wallet. Whether it's investing, renting an apartment, or sending your kid off to college, we'll help you navigate.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. And in just a couple hours, the Labor Department will deliver its all-important monthly jobs report. The expectation among economists is that about 155,000 jobs were created in the U.S. last month and that the unemployment rate stayed the same at 7.8%. As Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman tells us, a report like that would be both good news and bad news.
Let's start with the optimist. Bernie Baumol of the Economic Outlook Group thinks the economy's getting better.
Companies, I think, are going to be more likely to ramp up hiring because of growing confidence that there's a lot of pent-up demand that's going to be realized.
So Baumol says that means gains in construction, retail, bars and restaurants, all the economic boats that finally start to float when people feel like they've got some extra money. Now the pessimist. Christine Owens of the National Employment Law Project says it could be years before millions of long-term unemployed find work.
As job growth starts to pick up, what we're going to see is a lot more people come back into the labor force, and it is going to create more competition for the jobs that are being created.
Putting young, unskilled workers and older, displaced ones at a disadvantage. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Today at the White House, an energy pioneer, will receive the National Medal of Science. Physicist John Goodenough helped develop the lithium-ion batteries that are used in cars, phones, and those new Boeing Dreamliners that are having problems with those lithium-ion batteries. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Scott Tong reports.
Boeing plans to stay with lithium-ion batteries in the Dreamliner, even though they're at the center of inquiries into fire, faulty electric systems, engine explosions, and warning lights. University of Texas physicist John Goodenough says the key is battery engineering. It takes lots of lithium-ion cells combined to get the energy a plane needs. They have to share the work.
And if you haven't got that management correct, and one does more work than the others, the first thing you know, that one gets hot. And when that gets too hot, you get a fire.
Within the lithium-ion family, there are other batteries that are more fireproof, so you could sub those in. It's a matter of managing the risk. Seth Fletcher at Popular Science is the author of Bottled Lightning.
If you're putting a premium on efficiency and you want the lightest energy storage device possible, lithium-ion batteries are really about the best we've got right now.
No word on when the investigations will end. The Dreamliners are now grounded, but the company has some 800 more on order. I'm Scott Tong. For Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are up in global trading this morning, 0.6% higher in Frankfurt, up 0.5% in Tokyo after some mediocre Chinese manufacturing numbers this morning. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow lost 49 points to close at 13,860.
Marketplace covers the world of economics. Are you ready for some Freakonomics? We're partnering with the team that writes about the hidden side of everything for a regular Marketplace Freakonomics story, podcast, and more. Just go to FreakonomicsRadio.com.
Well, as it happens, those stock market numbers I just gave you were pretty good historically. The Dow jumped almost 6% in January, its best start to the year since 1994. That index is near a record high. And some economists say that is thanks to the return of individual investors to the stock market. Our economics correspondent, Chris Farrell, joins us now with more on that. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
So, Chris, is it really true? Is the individual investor, the regular Joe, actually getting back into the stock market now?
Well, if you look at the mutual fund figures and the exchange-traded fund figures, yes, the individual investor is coming back into the stock market. But you know, it always kind of bothers me, Jeremy, when people make this observation. It sort of has this tone of, you know, the pros, the sophisticated, the smart money, they were in there long before now. And now it's kind of this individual investors coming in, so it must be a fool's rally.
Well, yeah, that is the question. I mean, you know, in a couple of the stories that I've seen over the last few days about this, the second thing that they say after they say the individuals are coming back in is, did they miss the boat?
No, I don't think they missed the boat. Let's put it this way. The individual investor is coming more into the market, partly because they're making a big bet along with the professionals and along with companies who have been buying back their stock, by the way, in massive numbers. Everybody's making the same bet at this point or this juncture of our history, which is that the U.S. economy is going to continue to recover despite the GDP report, the negative number that we got earlier in the week, and that Europe, the worst is behind Europe, and it's going to start getting better. So it may turn out that the individual investor and the professional investor are wrong about future economic growth, but it's a reasonable bet.
All right. So, Chris, I know that there are going to be people who hear this interview and they say, oh, man, I got to get into that market. He says it's doing well now, and it's not just the big guys. It's the little guys that are getting some of the action. What are they supposed to do?
I wouldn't do anything. I mean, look, Jeremy, you don't want to be taking investment advice from me or investment advice from your brother-in-law or what, the proverbial barber. Does anyone have to take investment advice from their barber? I don't know. So many people try and, you know, get out of the market in time, get back in the market in time, and it's a fool's game. It's hazardous to your wealth. Think about your circumstances. Think about what you're trying to do. Save your money. If it makes sense to have some money in the market, that's fine. If it doesn't, just save your money for the long term so it's there for you. Don't chase the market.
Sound advice from Chris Farrell, Marketplace Economics Correspondent. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot.
And finally, this is my last day hosting this first edition of the Marketplace Morning Report. Starting next Monday, my good friend and colleague David Brancaccio will be with you every morning with a focus on technology, so you'll be in very good hands. Now, I am not going far. I will still be hosting the show every hour starting at 6:50 Eastern Time each morning. It has been a pleasure waking up with you every day and trying to make the world of business and economic news a little bit interesting and maybe even fun sometimes. You can always find me on Twitter at Jeremy Hobson. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media. And of course, for those of you who are listening to this as a podcast, nothing will change. I will still be here every day. The podcast will just come out an hour later, right after 7 a.m. Eastern Time.